from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the re-wrap for Wednesday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning, who owns stuff on the internet, and who should? Speaking of the internet, Amazon Go is not a go. We've got Harry Potter and Scottish and the Megyn Kelly effect. But before any of that, this mental health inquiry, another one. It's not going anywhere, is it?
The big question, and this is the question to come out of all government reports, what, if anything, are they going to do about it? And given the answer is almost certainly nothing, you then ask, quite rightly, what was the point of the report? And how ironic, on the very day they announce the inquiry, we also get a damning coroner's report into the abject failure of service by the Central and Lakes DHB and the treatment of a young man who took his life. The coroner said the failure of the staff involved was incomprehensible and inexcusable. Now, those are the stories that paint the picture of our mental health system being broken and thus lead to inquiry. So, is that scenario a funding one? Is an inquiry going to do anything to prevent that sort of ineptitude, or is the simple reality that no matter what you do, there is no cure for incompetence and bureaucratic unprofessionalism? Is that DHB going to be found wanting in terms of priorities? And will an inquiry change that? And that's the trouble with these far-reaching, expensive investigations. They raise expectation, which is always the easy part of the trick. The follow-through, or lack of, is the real key, and the reason presumably we are here with yet another probe is because no one clearly has managed previously to actually follow through.
Yes, it's old Groundhog Day again, like it always seems to be with these things. It's enough to drive you insane. See what I did there. Right, Rupert Murdoch is complaining that people are stealing his stuff, i.e. YouTube and Facebook. But at the same time, he wants all of the control of all the news in England by buying Sky. It's all very confusing. I think Mike can make sense of some of it, though.
Facebook use people like you to sell advertising to companies that see how many people Facebook attracts. But who pays for the news you read? How much should Murdoch get, given he employed the people who did the work in the first place? There is, of course, a small irony in this. It's the same Murdoch who is busy looking to take over Sky in Europe at the moment, which would give him an enormous amount of leverage in the pay TV market, so much so that the decision's been delayed and delayed, having rung a number of official alarm bells in the first place. And I've got an update on that for you in just a couple of moments. But consistency is not necessarily part of Murdoch's modus operandi. But back to Facebook. They, too, featured last year in the debate over the potential merger of NZME, this company, the company that owns this radio station, and Fairfax, the merger that was blocked by the Commerce Commission, in part because they didn't accept or get that the Facebooks of this world are in fact major players in the news and sucking millions out of the advertising market. So NZME and Fairfax pay people to generate news, and they need to compete with Facebook, who grab it, whack it on their feed, and go sell advertising around it. How's that fair? How is that balanced? And how do a couple of comparatively small local companies here compete against someone the size of Facebook? That was the argument. And that's before you get to Murdoch, who is essentially arguing the same thing, but is a hell of a lot bigger, more financially robust, and is able to withstand an onslaught far more effectively. And then, if the trend keeps going and Facebook dominate global news feeds, who's actually in charge of what you see and what you read? Zuckerberg? And when he talks of trusted sources, do you believe him? Which is why increasingly large and singular operators in this area, or indeed generally in any area, is almost always bad news, whether it's the news you're trading in or not.
Yes, ultimate power corrupts ultimately, or whatever. What's that expression? You know what the one I mean, anyway. Yeah, you can't have one outfit being in charge of everything. Nothing good ever comes of that. That's what I'm trying to get at there. And saying that, Amazon, very powerful company, but they don't always get it right either.
So I knew going in yesterday there'd be some cluster. I just didn't know what it would be. What it turns out to be are the two most, to my mind anyway, obvious things that they didn't even think of in their 12 months of trialing. One, the technology couldn't differentiate between people who looked roughly the same shape and size. Now, wouldn't you have thought, if you're opening a supermarket in which there will be hundreds of people, the chances of there being quite similar sizes and shapes of people in the supermarket at the same time would be very high? Wouldn't you have thought that would be pretty obvious?
I mean, imagine if both you and I were in the supermarket at the same time, because people get us confused all the time.
All the time. Yeah, I'm tall, lean, and good-looking. You're short, fat, and bald. But and so
apart
you can,
from that, but almost apart identical.
From that, but apart from that, and the other thing they couldn't, and anyone who's ever been to a supermarket knows this is how it works, they blame children. They blame the children, the cheeky children they called them, who took items from one aisle and put them in another, and the computer couldn't register that. So the idea was people would say, well, if I buy something, what if I put it back on the shelf? And they say, well, the computer registers that. But what they didn't take into account is what we all know is when you decide you're not buying something, you don't put it back where you got it from. You put it back wherever you happen to be because that's convenient.
Are you one of those people who does that?
Of course.
Oh, no.
No. I've done that. No, to be fair, I don't. But I probably have, to be fair.
I do blame the supermarket. Sometimes, you know, they have a display of things that aren't in the right place.
Correct.
And, you know, like there'll be a certain product that's, then they've got it on display in the produce section, even though it's not produce.
Yes, that's right.
And then, and you go, oh, I might have some of that. And then you get round to the section where it's supposed to be, the breakfast cereal section, say. And then you realise, oh, that's a massive rip-off, that product.
Exactly, I don't want it anymore.
And so you put it back.
How could they not work that out? Did not one of the people who invented that technology ever enter a supermarket in their life? And the answer, you know, is probably no, they haven't. Hence, it all went wrong. So they're back to the drawing board.
Yeah, I had a situation the other day. I was at the supermarket and there was a can of peaches, I think it was, on the conveyor belt, but it didn't belong to any of the preceding people who were getting served at that checkout. And somebody had also stashed a bag of frozen peas into the confectionery display as well, because obviously they decided they didn't want it anymore. That's not acceptable behaviour. We're not heathens, are we? And we're not even Scottish. I certainly am not.
Trending now on the Mike Hosking Breakfast.
Harry Potter has been translated into Scots, and people online are a bit fascinated by the changes. Scots is a language spoken in parts of Scotland that differs from both the Scottish Gaelic and the English, obviously. Dumbledore becomes Dumby Dykes. That doesn't make any sense to me. Quidditch becomes Bizzenbore. That doesn't make any sense to me either. Uncle Vernon's described as a muckle beefy bookie man with a wee stumpy wee craggy.
Oh, wow. Your Scottish accent is so much better than mine.
That's not bad, is it? A stumpy wee craggy. A stumpy wee craggy. The first chapter is titled The Boy Who Lived in English, starts Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of number 4 Privet Drive were proud to say that they were perfectly normal, thank you very much. But Glenn, it translates into...
The lad what live Mr. and Mrs. Dursley or number 4...
Number 4!
Privet Loom.
Privet Loom!
Were proud to say they were gay normal, thank you
they
very much.
They were gay normal, thank you very much. Oh, that was well worth it. That's going to bring in the awards for the year. The news is next.
I'm actually bloody annoyed about that because I specifically said I could not do a Scottish accent and then I get dropped right in it to an estimated viewing audience of 400,000 people. It's very embarrassing. Whenever I try to do Scottish, it just comes out Irish. I don't know why. I'd love to be able to do Scottish too. I love the Scottish brogue. Anyway, we're going to finish up here... What are we finishing up here with? Oh, that's right. Megyn Kelly not being sent to the Winter Olympics. It reminds me of somebody I know.
NBC have got the rights to the Winter Olympics. Literally send all their news crew to South Korea for the Winter Olympic Games. All the news programs come from South Korea for the period of the Games. The only person not going is Megyn Kelly. She's going to be stuck back in New York. Here's the story, though.
I know just how she feels.
Exactly. Yeah, sorry, you're sauce about it.
Am I going, like, for
no,
example,
you're not. No,
so you're
not.
Off
no,
to no. back to London again.
Correct.
For another stupid royal wedding.
Correct. And are you coming is your question.
Yeah.
Am I coming this time? Of all
or
the
am
trips
I being Megyn Kelly'd?
Of all the trips we've done to London, is there a chance this time I will be on it is your question.
Yeah.
No.
Did I go to San Francisco
no.
for that time you went to the America's Cup?
No.
What about Chicago for that whole, you know, election?
No. That was actually New York. See, you don't even know what city you're in. Now, back to Megyn Kelly. What I can't understand, this is the big scrap with Megyn Kelly and Jane Fonda. So she had Jane Fonda on the program. She asks Jane Fonda about plastic surgery. Jane Fonda goes, how dare you ask me about plastic surgery? So yesterday, Jane Fonda, who's at the film festival in Sundance, she has another go at Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly has a go back at her. But therefore, I'm sitting in California over the summer period, and I'm looking at the television, And I've never worked out where Megyn Kelly went when she left Fox, because she was a very hard-nosed journalist who's into the news of the day and the politics and stuff. This woman's doing like what's that program on in the morning at 9 o'clock? The Cafe. She's talking about what sort of bread you should eat in your sandwiches and doing jazzergetics. And you've never seen a woman looking more out of her comfort zone than Megyn Kelly. She looks like she wants to shoot herself. And you wonder why the show's a disaster. If you're not happy doing what you're doing, it will never work.
Just quietly, I don't actually want to go to the royal wedding, given that I don't really want to go to England and I'm not interested in the royals. Nice to go somewhere, though, and it's always good to have an excuse to buy some duty-free. I am Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap for Wednesday. I'll see you back here again tomorrow when I'll have some more duty-free goodies for you then. I mean, they're audio goodies, but they're still goodies.